in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation.
Bless his holy name. Go ahead and speak to him. Just go ahead and talk to the Lord. Mandi so veletes kabakadis kotele minduko savaladi. Go ahead and talk to the Lord. Ishalimalonde sefretu legida haladish. Father, we give you the praise. Father, speak to me tonight. Can you go ahead and pray that prayer? Speak to me tonight. Let the eyes of my understanding be enlightened. I receive spiritual illumination. I receive enlightenment. I receive revelation. I receive impartations. I receive empowerment by your word and your spirit. Can you go ahead and just talk to the Lord? Let this new teaching series, let it revolutionize my life. Let it radically transform my life, my destiny. I receive grace, not just to be a hearer, but a doer of your word. I receive the commensurate empowerment to become everything the word of God talks about. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, our hearts and minds are open to receive all that you have for us. Thank you for a seeing eye, a hearing ear, and an understanding heart. We receive revelations, impartations, empowerment for our transformation. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Clap your hands, all you people. Come on, shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. Come on, shout glory. Glory to God. You might be seated. Thank you, Father. Kepo la Bagadaya. I'm so excited about this series. This new October teaching series, Occupy Till I Come, I believe it will radically transform your lives, metamorphose your life and your destiny in a way that you will know that God visited you in this series. Praise God. It's a very crucial series. Very important series. This is our month of dominion. October is our month of dominion. I thought you'd be excited about that. When God created man, he gave to man the dominion mandate. Praise God. And in line with that mandate, which is one of even the mandate of this ministry, God have called and anointed us to raise a people of glory who will become the living manifestation of God's word in all areas of their lives, dominating the systems of this world and taking them over until the kingdoms of this world becomes the kingdom of our God and of who is Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I say glory to God. And we said there are three mandates of our vision. The first one is a glory mandate, the glory mandate to raise the people of glory, the glory generation. The second one is a word manifestation mandate, raising a people that will become the epistles of Christ, living, walking, talking Bibles, people that will become the Word of God made flesh. Glory to God. Then the third mandate of our vision is a dominion mandate. The dominion mandate talks about raising the takeover generation. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
Raising a people of dominion. The takeover generation. People that will infiltrate, dominate, and take over the world, the systems of this world. Am I communicating? Take over the cosmos, the ethnos, every strata of society. The seven mountains of influence we talked about. Glory to God. Do you know the mandate of AGMI is actually God's mind for the end time? Are you aware? It's God's will for his, for the end time church. Are you aware of that? So it's a privilege. What we are doing, this mandate we are running with, is God's heartbeat for the end time. Glory to God. Occupy till I come. Today we'll be setting some foundations. Glory to God. So many scriptures, good for your health. Okay, let's just read a few of them. Luke chapter 19 from verse... Okay, let me take the reading so that you get it in context. 11. Luke 19:11. And as they heard these things, he, Jesus, added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought, look at this, because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much everyone had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over how many cities? Over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound had gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, said, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin, for I feared thee, because thou art an austere man, a hard man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou did not sow. And he said unto him, out of thy own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping what I did not sow. Wherefore then givest not thou my money unto the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine with my own with usury. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him that had the pound, and give it to him that had 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he had 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto everyone that had, shall be given, and from him that had not, even that which he had shall be taken away from him. But thou, my enemies, which will not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Praise God. Genesis 1:26. The Bible says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have, bring down that volume. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the face of the earth. 27. It says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the face of the earth. Psalm 8 verse 6. It says, thou madest him, that's man, the him there is man in context, thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Praise God. I say praise God. Matthew 28 verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, actually is exousia, the power there is exousia, is all authority, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Next verse. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Next verse. Is it teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you? Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Revelation 11:15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever and ever. Glory to God. Revelation 1 verse 6. Plenty scripture, good for your health. And has made us what? Kings and priests unto God and his Father. Who made us? Jesus. To him be what? Glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Revelation 5:10. Praise God. Are you learning something? Is it? And as what? The same Jesus, by his substitutionary suffering and sacrifice, redemptive work on the cross, he has made us unto our God kings and what? Priests. Do we have kings and priests in the house? Okay. He says he has made us kings and priests, and we shall reign where? In heaven. We shall reign where? On earth. Glory to God. Okay, let's go back to our reading. Luke chapter 19, the anchor text. Luke 19:11. Let's start from 11. Now I want you to get this parable in context. And as they heard these things, he had it and spake a parable. Watch this. Jesus spoke so many parables. Most of the parable he spoke was about the kingdom of God. Am I communicating? In fact, Jesus spoke more about the kingdom of God than any other subject. In his teachings, in his discourse in Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, you will realize the predominant subject of Jesus' discussion was the kingdom of God. Am I communicating? The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom, kingdom. You hear him talking about the kingdom. He spoke about the kingdom more than everything else. Glory to God. That's to tell you the importance of the kingdom of God. Because that is actually God's original, primordial purpose and will, which is to establish his kingdom in the earth realm. Am I communicating? That was why he created man. That's why he created man. In fact, before he created man, that was why he created the earth. You read in Genesis, in the beginning, God created what? The heavens and the earth. And you know, you cannot have two kings ruling in the same kingdom. So he needed to create the earth for man to rule and reign there, because he knows that man cannot rule in heaven, because heaven already has another king, which is the King of Kings himself. Am I communicating? So God had his kingdom in mind before he even created the earth. And then he now created man, just like we read earlier, and then gave him dominion and authority over the earth realm that he has created. Adam was the crown king. He was the governor of the earth. Am I communicating? He was the original God of this world. Who made him? God the Father himself. How? By giving him authority and dominion. He said, let us make man in our image and likeness. Let them have what? Dominion. To rule and to reign over the earth. Am I communicating? Kaleboko Sagadaya. Can you remember, you know, there have been different earthly empires and kingdoms that have ruled this earth up till date. If you study history, if you study the Bible, you will see the Egyptian kingdom, you will see the kingdom of Assyria, you will see kingdom of Babylon, kingdom Babylonia, Nebuchadnezzar was king, you will hear of the Persian, Medo-Persian Empire. You will hear about the, which one again? Roman Empire, right? Greek, the Greek Empire first. Because, okay, let's look at the chronology. Which kingdom, earthly kingdom, conquered Babylon? Because kingdom Babylonia ruled the earth. Hope you know, at a point. They were the world power. Glory to God. Nebuchadnezzar controlled this entire earth. God gave him dominion over other earthly kingdoms. So at a point, Babylon was the world power. Then later, they were conquered by the Medo-Persian Empire. You remember when Nebuchadnezzar's grandson began to misbehave, disrespecting God, carrying the vessels, holy vessels that were consecrated to God, that his grandfather Nebuchadnezzar took from the temple when Babylon invaded Jerusalem. Am I communicating? And conquered it and carried some of them as captive, of which Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego were part of the captives they brought into Babylon. Am I communicating? So his grandson Belteshazzar was drinking and partying and doing bedu and night clubbing from vessels that were consecrated to Jehovah, until God got angry and wrote against the wall, Mene Mene Tekel, offering. Your kingdom, you have been weighed in the balance and you have been found wanting, and then your kingdom has been divided and judgment has been passed.
And it has been given to the Medes and Persians. And the Bible said that same night, the Medo-Persian Empire, they invaded Babylon. And they killed the king. They took over. And then they became world power by that conquest. Am I communicating? The Medo-Persian Empire was a very big empire. You read about King Ahasuerus, Artaxerxes. Am I communicating? These were Persian kings. You remember the book of Esther? Esther's husband, Ahasuerus. This man ruled over kingdom from Ethiopia to India. It's in your Bible. That was how large the kingdom was. They ruled this planet. These were earthly kingdoms. Then later, Medo-Persia, the Persian Empire lost it. To who? The Greek Empire. Alexander the Great. Are you aware Alexander the Great is in the Bible? Oh, read the book of Daniel. Even his five generals. Is it four? Four generals, right? Is it four or five? I think it's four generals he had. They are all in the Bible, in the book of Daniel. You know, Daniel was very prophetic. In fact, you can't teach the eschatology without the book of Daniel. He mentioned those things, though, even though he didn't mention the name Alexander the Great. But he talked about him. He talked about his kingdom. He talked about those his generals. And he talked about the fact that after the death of Alexander the Great, his kingdom, that's the Greek Empire, will be divided among those four generals. Am I communicating? Daniel talked about those things. So it was a Greek Empire that conquered the Medo-Persian Empire and took over world power from them. And it was a very, very, very solid. A lot of things we are enjoying, where the world is doing today. The Greeks started it. Sport, for instance. Are you aware of all this Olympic game, all this sport and entertainment? It was a Greek Empire. The Romans learnt it from the Greeks. Am I communicating? Including this democracy, system of government, democrata, is the Greeks that started it. Am I communicating? It was the Greeks. It was a powerful empire. Alexander the Great, at 33 years, this guy has conquered the then world. Very young general. He was almost unstoppable. He kept conquering and conquering until there was no more to conquer. Praise God. He later died. I think they said he was poisoned by his some of his people or something. Am I communicating? The Greeks later lost it to the most powerful earthly empire that ever ruled this earth, which was the Roman Empire. Hi! The Roman Empire were the most, they were the strongest of all the earthly empires. They were the one that conquered the Greek Empire. They were so strong. Look at their soldiers now, Romans. When Jesus came to this earth, it was the Roman Empire. When Jesus was born, even throughout his 3.5 year earthly messianic work, it was the Roman Empire that were ruling the earth. Am I communicating? They were the world power. Even Bethlehem of Judah and all of that, Jerusalem, they were all what? Colonies under the Roman Empire. All this Herod, you read about Herod and all of that, Pilate and all of that, they were under the Roman Empire. Am I communicating? They were ruling for the Roman Empire. They were ruling the world. Those kings that were stationed over different provinces, different regions, different territories, they were ruling for the emperor, the Roman emperor. Am I communicating? Because they were the world power. I'm giving you background. Glory to God. Are you learning something? The Roman Empire were a very, very strong empire. But they too later lost it. Am I communicating? They later lost it. You know, they later lost it too. And if you study the Bible talked about the revised Roman Empire. You know, today America is world power, right? US. And who colonized US? The Great Britain, right? Yes, Great Britain colonized US. So, watch this. The revised Roman Empire is where the Antichrist will come from. And what is the revised Roman Empire? In summary, it is EU. You know EU? European Union. The Antichrist will not come from USA. Mm-mm. It's not coming from China or Russia. The Antichrist, according to the Bible, is coming from the revised Roman Empire. Not the one that ruled the world during Jesus' time. There is what we call the revised Roman Empire. And that revised Roman Empire is actually European Union. Am I communicating? And that is where the Antichrist will come from. Yes. But he will not show his ugly face, even though he may be a fine man. He will not be manifested to rule this world until after the rapture of the church. Praise God. That's what the Bible teaches. Praise God. And even when he's going to rule the world, then there will be one world government, one world economy, one world religion. He will control the military, but there are two nations that will never agree with him. It's not every country that will agree with the Antichrist, even during his reign on earth. There are two nations that will not form alliance with the Antichrist. You want to know those countries? The Northern Army and Eastern Army. Northern Army is Russia. These are Bible language. Russia is the Northern Army. Russia and Eastern is China. Russia and China will not form alliance with the Antichrist. But all these European country and other country, AU, Africa Union, all of them, by the time the Antichrist threatened them, I will not give you people food. You know, you have a lot of poor people in Africa. I say, okay, sign here. It will sign. Praise God. I say, praise God. Now, listen. I'm trying to explain the concept of kingdom. Now, what did Herod the Tetrarch was the king over where? Judea. Abi? He was ruling for who? The Roman Emperor. Now watch this. If you go to Rome, Herod the Tetrarch cannot rule there. Why? Because the Emperor is there, which is the higher king that sent him as a king to rule over what? Judea. Am I communicating? Herod was the governor of Judea. He was ruling on behalf of what? The Roman Emperor. Caesar. Am I communicating? It's the same principle. Now, Judea was a colony of the Roman Empire. Are you getting the point? It's a similar principle. Papa God in heaven is the one ruling in heaven. Now, if he keeps man in heaven from the beginning, there is no way man can rule and reign with him there. Are you getting my point? He needed to create another colony. Get it, oh. He needed to create another colony, which is called the earth. And then he now took the man that he created in his image and likeness, and then gave him his authority, gave him his dominion, and then he said, rule and reign, colonize the earth realm for me. Just like Herod was ruling Judea for Caesar. Am I communicating? The Roman Emperor. That's why he said, let them have dominion. It has been God's original plan. And guess what? Even though Adam committed high treason and lost it to Satan, thank God Jesus came and reclaimed that mandate and restored it back to the church. And guess what? God's plan has not changed. After the, as in the great white throne judgment and all of that, if you read Revelation 21 from verse 1, you will see where Apostle John, he said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth coming down. Watch this. He said, I saw a new heaven, not this same heaven, no, a new one. And a new earth, not this same earth. But the location will still be the same location, but not this same earth. Remember, Peter said, all these elements will be burned by fire. Watch this. He says, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. You know the way you roll away rock carpets? Eh? Just imagine, just roll away this rug. Are you getting me? That's how the old earth will be rolled away, and then a new earth will come and replace it. Now follow me carefully. This one is apostolic teaching, no? This occupy till I come. So listen very well. It says, and there was no more sea. Verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from out of heaven and prepared as a bride atoned for her husband. Glory to God. You know the way they arrange Amaria for wedding day. You understand? Next verse. He says, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. This has been God's plan all the while. Since in Genesis. Are you getting my point? This is God's original plan, oh, that Satan and sin thought they could spoil. But they failed big time. He said the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God in the new earth. In the new earth. Are you getting my point? And that is where we will reign with Jesus forever and ever and ever and ever. Are you getting the point? If I ask the average Christian, where will man spend eternity? Eh? Many of them will tell you in heaven. That is if the person is a child of God, then hellfire if he's a sinner. But do you know you are wrong? You don't spend eternity in heaven or in hell. No carry stone me. I'm going to explain. Calm down. Heaven and hellfire, they are temporary. In fact, hellfire is a transit camp. It's like this state prison where they detain prisoners temporarily while they are awaiting court judgment. By the time court convict the criminal, what do? You see them transferring the criminal that has been convicted from the state prison to where? Federal prison. Like Odi Kiri Kiri. What's the name of that one that Obasanjo was in? Eh? Was it Kiri Kiri? All those kind of, that's after the judge has passed sentence, you now go and serve your jail term in where? In the federal prison. Now listen, the state prison is like the hellfire. Why the federal prison is lake of fire? Now listen, the sinner will not spend eternity in hellfire. The sinner will spend eternity in the lake of fire. Because even hell will be cast into the lake of fire. Go and read Revelation 20. The Bible says hell and death were cast into the lake of fire. So hell and its content, all the people in hell, they will finally be cast where they will spend their eternity, which is the lake of fire, where they will be tormented forever and ever and ever and ever A place that burned with fire and brimstone, forever disconnected from the presence of God. That's why the Bible says, preach the gospel, win souls. It's not a place to go. The believer will not spend eternity in heaven. Heaven too is a transit camp. Follow me carefully. When you leave the earth, either by rapture or by death, as a believer, listen. The Bible says, we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's believers. It didn't say great throne, great white throne judgment. You know, there are three kinds of judgment. There is the judgment seat of Christ, where believers appear for reward or no reward, or more reward or less reward, depending on your what? Your contribution to God's kingdom, fulfilling God's plan and purpose, the business of the kingdom. You will be rewarded for your works. You see, all this kingdom service you are doing, all these souls you are winning, all this giving you are giving towards God's work, are you aware that there is reward for it? You will be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. But make sure you do kingdom service with the right motive, because if your motive is wrong, the Bible says your work will be tested by fire. And those that did their own with wrong motive, it will be burnt off. So they are dead works. You will not be rewarded even though you have made heaven. So the judgment at the judgment seat of Christ is not to determine who will enter heaven or hell. No. Everybody that is appearing there has already made heaven, because the judgment is in heaven already. The judgment is for reward. Whether the person will get reward at all or not, depending on their work on earth. Did you fulfill God's plan and purpose for your life? What was your contribution to God's kingdom? What was your kingdom service like? What value did you add to the kingdom? Am I communicating? Some will be rewarded, not at all. Let me give you an example. Can you remember that thief by the right hand of Jesus that God saved at the last minute? Did he make heaven? Yes. Will he be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ? No. But he has made heaven. Some will be rewarded more, some will be rewarded less, depending on our effort. Am I communicating? Towards God's work. Then there is the judgment at the judgment seat of Christ, in which John, Revelation 20, he said, I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And he says, books were opened, which are the book of works. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. He said, people were judged according to what is in those books of works. He said, people were judged. Then he then said, whosoever name is not found written in the book of life, the person is thrown into the lake of fire. So can you see that the final decision concerning who to throw into lake of fire did not even come from the book of works? It came from the book of life. Whosoever name is not found there, that means it was there before, but the person refused to give his life to Christ, so God blotted it out. The moment you die without Jesus, God will cancel the person's name from the book of life. You know, some people think that the book of life is that book that the day you got born again, God will now write your name. Some people even say, Father, I come to you today, I give my life to Christ, please write my name in the book of life. They even add it to the salvation prayer. It's a good reasoning, but it's not scriptural. Listen, the book of life, if that was true, why did Moses pray in the Old Testament, even before Jesus came? He said, when he was interceding for the children of Israel after they had sinned against God, he said, Lord, if you will not forgive these people, if you will pardon them, blot my name, blot it out from the book of life. That means Moses' name was there.
and Moses was not born again then. When did Moses get born again? It was after Jesus resurrected. The Bible says, you know, Abraham's bosom, all those Old Testament saints, they were waiting there. Oh, they saw all the combat and contest in hell. They saw how Jesus triumphed over death, over Satan, over hell, the grave. He spoiled principalities and power. They were hailing Jesus. The Bible says he made a public spectacle. So who were the spectators? Those in Abraham's bosom. Moses and the rest of them. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Abraham was there. Job was there. None of them could go to heaven, no, because they were not born again. It was after Jesus resurrected, conquered hell and the grave. The first place he went was to Abraham's bosom. He then freed all the prisoners that were there, because Hades was a prison. Am I communicating? He preached the gospel to them. That was when they got saved. So later, when he was ascending, he went to heaven with them for the first time. Now, just follow me carefully. I'm trying to explain something about the book of life. The book of life has the name of all humanity that will ever be born into this world written there. God believes that they will be saved. That's why he wrote everybody's name there. But, and he will do everything to get the gospel to them. But in case they don't get saved and they die in that their sinful state, that is when he blots their name out. That's why he says, whosoever name is not found. So it was there before, but the person died without giving their life to Christ. And now say their name were not found. He says the person is cast where? Into the lake of fire. The Bible says that's the second death. Then what is the third kind of judgment? Judgment of nations. During the millennial reign of Jesus, after his second coming, Jesus will establish, after he has conquered the Antichrist, he will establish his earthly kingdom in Jerusalem. He will rule the whole world from Jerusalem. And the Bible says he's going to judge all the nations, okay? All the nations that rejected him, they are goat nations. The ones that accepted him and his rule, they are sheep nations. So he will separate the goat from the sheep. Are you getting my point? These are the three kinds of judgment the Bible talks about. Am I communicating? Number one, the judgment seat of Christ. Number two, the great white throne judgment. The only, listen. Will believers be judged at the judgment seat of Christ? No. It's sinners that will be judged there. I'm a table shaker today. I will so shake tables and scatter some tables. After this teaching, you come and beat me. That is if you can. Believers will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ, but they will not be judged at the great white throne judgment of Revelation 20, because they've already made heaven. In fact, should I surprise you? Believers will be involved in judging the world together with Jesus. We will be seated with him on those thrones. Am I communicating? We'll be helping Jesus to judge those fallen angels, helping Jesus to judge those sinners. He said, what you serve, why preach to? Why you not accept Jesus? You look at those fallen angels. Remember those fallen angels? The Bible said the angels that did not leave the ones that left their first estate, that came to the earth realm, those watchers, and started intercoursing, marrying the daughters of men, and then they gave birth to giants. Those angels will be judged. They are currently reserved in chains under the hellfire. Not just in hellfire, they are under hellfire. It's called Tartarus. Hades had three parts. There is Abraham's bosom on top. There is hell beneath.
Then there is Tartarus under the earth, which is the hottest part. That's where God put those wicked fallen angels. They are chained. God chained them and put them there. They are waiting for their judgment at the great white throne judgment. And we will be the ones helping Jesus to judge them. Say, you see your poloi. You see all those fine girl. You can't leave your place. Come at. You know be mumu. Oh yeah, enter lake of fire. That's why Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians, I think chapter 6, he says, don't you know that believers will judge the world? He said, don't you know that we will judge angels? It's those fallen angels. When are we going to judge the world and the fallen angels? It's at the judgment seat of Christ. Are you learning something? Glory to God. Occupy till I come. Let's do little divination of terms. Let's go back to our reading. Luke chapter 19 rather. Occupy till I come. I needed to give you that foundation so that you understand. God's kingdom agenda has not changed. And as he heard these things, he added and spake a parable. It was nigh to Jerusalem, because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. Next verse. It says, he said, therefore, a certain nobleman. A nobleman is a man of authority, a high-ranking officer. He says, went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom. We'll come back to this. He said, therefore, okay, next verse, and to return. He called his 10 servants, mark that word, 10 servants, and delivered unto them what? 10 pounds, and said unto them what? Occupy till I come. Now, take note of these things. Number one, kingdom. Take note of these keywords. Number two, servants. He called his 10 servants, and 10 is a prophetic number that represents authority. 10 represents authority. It means authority, dominion, rulership, etc. Am I communicating? And then number three, take note of the 10 pounds he gave them. Notice he didn't say 11 pounds. He didn't say 9. 10. It's very specific. 10 pounds. And he said unto them, number four, occupy till I come. Okay, look up. He gave his 10 servants 10 pounds. And the servant here is talking about the church, the body of Christ, made up of all believers. Am I communicating? He's talking about you. All believers in Christ. Glory to God. Are we not his servants? And then 10 pounds. You can call this capital. He gave them capital. And then he told them to occupy till I come. He gave them an assignment, a responsibility. Occupy till I come. Praise God. He gave them an assignment, a responsibility. And watch this. Notice he didn't leave them empty-handed. He gave them what? 10 pounds in order to carry out the assignment. So this capital is a form of empowerment. It's a form of empowerment. Without these 10 pounds, they won't be able to occupy. They won't be able to carry out that responsibility. Am I communicating? The servants won't be able to carry out the assignment. Praise God. Servants, what's their job? Service. They are to offer service. And what is service? Ministry.
Ministry is from the Greek word diakonia, and it means service in one word. Service in the area of your calling, service in the area of your assignment. Am I communicating? So, let's do a little definition of terms. The word occupy, let's start with occupy. It says occupy till I come. Occupy is from the Greek word pragmatiomai. Pragmatiomai, that's the Greek word translated occupy. It means to busy oneself with something. To busy oneself with something. It also means to trade. So when he says occupy till I come, he's saying busy yourself with this assignment. Trade till I come. Forex trader, crypto traders. Eh? This time around, na kingdom with a trade. Oh, I let me tell them if they are close to you. A kingdom business with a trade, yeah. So when he say occupy till I come, he is saying what? Trade till I come. Use this capital, £10, to what? To kingdom business till I come. Get yourself busy with the business of the kingdom. Am I communicating? So occupy means to be occupied in anything. It means to carry on a business. I like this. That Greek word pragmatiomai, it means to carry on a business. Which kind of business are we carrying on? Help me. Kingdom business. In Luke chapter 12 verse 49, Jesus said, don't you know I must be about what? My Father's business. So to occupy means to carry on kingdom business. It also means to carry on the business of a banker or a trader. Do you know God is a businessman? God is a shrewd businessman. God invested in you so that he will get dividends from your life. He saved you to save others. Am I communicating? God is a very, very wise businessman, and he wants profit from his servants that are into kingdom business. He wants profits, and his major profits are in souls. The souls you win, the souls you disciple, the souls that you transform their life, impacted their lives, reach out to with the gospel. Am I communicating? That is how his own profits are. Glory to God. Say with me, my life will never be a wasted investment. Do you know God invested so much in you? Jesus came all the way from heaven to die because of you. Saved you with his blood. Now, God have invested so much in you. What are you going to do for him? The prayer of children is, Lord, give me, give me, give me, give me. The prayer of mature Christians are, Lord, what will you have me do? So it has to do with responsibility. You keep bothering God about your need. Have you ever cared to find out his own need? You think God does not need anything? Why did he send Jesus? He's looking at the harvest of the earth, for whom Jesus has died, for whom he shed his blood. And he's looking, whom shall I send? Who shall go for us? But believers are busy with other things when they should be busy with what? Kingdom business. He said, occupy till I come means get busy with your kingdom assignment. Carry on this kingdom business. Am I communicating? He gave us an assignment. He gave us a responsibility. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Glory to God. We are still doing definition of terms. The next is kingdom. Remember in that same Luke 19 verse 12. He said a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom. So let's define kingdom, okay? Go back to that Luke 19 verse 12. He says, what's the meaning of kingdom? Kingdom is from the Greek word basilia. Basilia means royal power. Royal power. Basilia means kingship. That word kingdom means royal power. It means kingship. It means dominion. It means rulership. Okay? It means to rule and reign. To reign. Are you getting the meaning? Basilia, which is a Greek word translated kingdom, also means the territory subject to the rule of a king. The territory subject to the rule of a king. So it means royal power, kingship, it means dominion, it means rulership, it means to reign over a realm. So, and I said it also means the territory subject to the rule of a king. So, what do we mean by the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God refers to all realms or spheres of influence under the controlling influence and government of God. All realms or spheres under the controlling influence and the government of God. I take it the third time. The kingdom of God means all realms or spheres under the controlling influence and the government of God. The kingdom of God also means a territory or domain. A territory or domain under God's authority, comma, under God's dominion, comma, under God's jurisdiction and rulership. It means a territory under God's authority, comma, dominion, jurisdiction and rulership. Is it clear? So the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, are they the same? How many of you have heard that expression, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven? Sometimes people use them interchangeably. Are they the same? So what's the difference? Actually, they are related, but they are not exactly the same. The kingdom of heaven is actually a subset of the kingdom of God. It's a subset. That means it's a part of God's kingdom, but it's not all of God's kingdom. Okay, so what's the kingdom of heaven? Write this down. The kingdom of heaven is that part or aspect of God's kingdom that Jesus came to establish on earth, and it is headed by Jesus Christ. Shall I take it again? The kingdom of heaven is that part or aspect of God's kingdom that Jesus came to the earth to establish. He came to establish on earth, and it is headed by that same Jesus. Am I communicating? So Jesus left heaven, came to earth to establish the kingdom of heaven. Are you getting the point? The part of God's kingdom that is being established on earth is the kingdom of heaven. So can you see that the kingdom of heaven is a part, is a subset of the larger kingdom of God? Are you getting the point? So that's the difference between both. The church is an army of kingdom advancers and establishers on earth. Luke chapter 28 verse 18. The church is an army of kingdom what? Advancers and establishers on earth. So we are on a mission. The church is on a divine mission. Every believer, every member of the body of Christ is on a divine mission and has received a marching order with a divine mandate to establish God's kingdom on this earth. Am I communicating? In their sphere of influence, wherever you find your place, yourself, in your workplace, in your school, in your institution, in your community, in your city, in your neighborhood. Am I communicating? So, we have been commissioned by Jesus. We have been mandated to enthrone and establish both the person and the government of Christ. First, over the hearts of men, and then across every strata of society and every territory. Are you getting the point? We have been divinely commissioned by Jesus, and we have been mandated to enthrone and to establish the person and the government of Christ over the hearts of men. That's what happens when people get born again. And then across every strata of society, all those spheres of influence, mountains of influence, and then across every territory. Are you getting the point? This is our job description. Are you aware Jesus has paid the price for the salvation of the world? And he has given us the assignment to go and reap the global harvest of souls. So when a man gets born again, the kingdom of God is established in his heart. Christ and his government is enthroned in the person's heart. Am I communicating? But that's not all. That's not all. Are you aware? Jesus, by his painful suffering, vicarious death and sacrifice on the cross, he did not just pay the price for the salvation of souls of humanity. He also paid the price for the redemption, for the salvation of territories, places, nations. Are you aware of that? As in including this landed part of the earth, Jesus paid the price for it. So we must also establish and enthrone the person and the government of Christ, not just over the hearts of men, but across territories. Am I communicating? Across every strata of society. Glory to God. What are you giving me? I said Matthew chapter 28 verse 18. Hallelujah. Okay. Our goal as a church, as a missionary church, is to reveal, glorify, and institutionalize Christ everywhere. Our goal is to reveal Christ, glorify Christ, and institutionalize Christ everywhere, across the heart of men, across every strata of society, across territories, cities, communities, nations, countries, continents, everywhere. Hallelujah. In Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power. Okay, give me this. We'll read this in NIV. I think NIV puts it better. Because that power there is not dunamis, it's exousia, which is authority. Authority. Exousia means the delegated power, the permission, the right, the privilege to use power, the legal right to use power. Am I communicating? It refers to jurisdiction. Okay? Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all, NIV please, all authority, good, in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Did you notice that? All authority. Remember, when Satan made Adam and Eve to fall and commit high treason, when Adam committed high treason, he lost his God-given authority and dominion over the earth realm to Satan. And that was why in Luke chapter 4, verse 5. Watch this. During the temptation of Jesus, look at what the devil take
taking Jesus up into a high mountain, look at what he said. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Then verse 6. And the devil said unto Jesus, all this power, that power there is authority. Please give me NIV. NIV. All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered into me. Can you see that? He said, I will give you all their authority. That's all the authority over the kingdoms of this world. My question is, did Satan originally own it? No. Who gave it to him? Adam. So who originally owned it? God. And then God gave it to his first man, Adam. Then Adam committed high treason. He fell and then handed over to Satan. So at this point, Satan had the authority over all the kingdoms. So he's now telling Jesus, I will give you all the authority and splendor, for it has been given to me. Who gave it to him? Somebody say Adam. And I can give it to anyone I want to, but on one condition. See, wicked devil. Verse 7. Wicked devil. He says, so if you worship me, it will all be yours. Can you imagine? And this was a temptation. That means what Satan was saying was not a lie. If he didn't have the authority over all the kingdoms, then it wouldn't have been a genuine temptation. And Jesus did not argue with him and said, it's a lie, you don't own all the authority, because Adam gave it to him. Are you getting the point? Is this not what Jesus came to reclaim? But Satan wanted him to bypass process. You don't need to go to the cross. Just worship me. Bow to me now. I give it to you. Are you seeing this? But look at the reply Jesus gave in verse 8. Look at the reply. Verse 8. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Never worship the devil for anything. Never trade your soul. Never trade the allegiance, the loyalty of your heart for anything Satan wants to offer to you. Am I communicating? Not fame, not money, not anything. There's nothing Satan can give you that God cannot give you, and much more. He wanted Jesus to bypass process of going to the cross, which is the correct way of reclaiming the authority. He said, just bow to me. Compromise. He wanted Jesus to compromise. But thank God Jesus overcame that temptation. Hallelujah. Amen. Then in Colossians 2 verse 14, 15. Colossians 2:14. The Bible says, Jesus, having spoiled all principalities and powers. When did this take place? In hellfire. Okay, remember, he put off from himself. He disarmed them. That was after 3 days and three nights. And then he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Give me this in Amplified. That it there, it should have been in him. Translator error. It should have been in him. If you read it in context, in the Greek original, this thing, it should be, you can see it, over them, in him and in it. The right one is in him. Praise God. Praise God. It says, he disarmed the principalities and power that were ranged against us and made a bold display and public example. Hallelujah. In triumphing over them. Listen. Never be afraid of the devil another day of your life. The devil has been thoroughly defeated. Satan has been internally defeated. Satan has been completely disgraced. He has been paralyzed. The devil has been completely, thoroughly, internally defeated. And the victory has been given to you. It has been credited to your account. Say with me, when Jesus died, I died in him. When he was buried, I was buried in him.
when he was raised from the dead, I was raised together with him. When he ascended, I ascended with him. When he was seated at the right hand of God the Father, I was seated with him. You know, that's why the Bible says we are seated together with Christ. You remember when we thought about the doctrine of what? Substitution. Can you remember that teaching? The doctrine of identification. We identify with him. So, guess what? When this combat was taking place in hell, when he was spoiling principalities and powers, it was not a physical fight, too. It's not WrestleMania. It was a spiritual fight. Eh? When he was spoiling, do you know you two, you were boxing demons like that? Because you were in him. Am I communicating? You identify with him. So, his victory is your victory. So, in Christ, you have defeated Satan. In Christ, you have defeated those demons. So if they come against him, if they come against you, if Satan comes against you, remind him that I defeated you before in Christ. And now I'm going to enforce that victory. Are you getting me? So the summary of spiritual warfare is a fight to enforce our victory in Christ. It's a fight to enforce Satan's defeat. To put him where he rightfully belongs, which is where? Under your feet. Simple. That's what spiritual warfare in summary is all about. We use our God-given authority and power, and based on this revelation knowledge, you enforce your victory in Christ. You keep insisting. Am I communicating? Satan is not permitted to defeat you again. The last time you suffer defeat will be the last forever. Amen. Say with me, the devil has been completely defeated. Has been eternally defeated, has been thoroughly defeated, and I am more than a conqueror. I am super victorious in Christ Jesus. So, after Jesus defeated Satan, guess what? He collected from him the authority. Give me Revelation 1:18. That authority that over the earth realm that he got from Adam when Adam fell, Jesus collected it back. Just the same way, just help me with your pen or something. Just imagine if this was the authority, give me. He collected. Satan did not willingly hand over it to. He conquered him first and then collected it from him. The dominion, the authority that God originally gave Adam. Guess what? Look at it here. When John saw Jesus in Revelation, he said, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and of death. And you can't collect the keys of hell and death from Satan until you first confront and defeat Satan. Are you getting me? He confronted, conquered, and defeated Satan, defeated hell, defeated the grave, and then collected the authority. Keys represent access and authority. If I give you key to my house, I have given you authority to that house, through of us. And then Jesus said, I give unto you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Am I communicating? So, now go back to Matthew 28. You will now understand this. Verse 18. He now came as a triumphant, when he appeared after his resurrection, as a triumphant Messiah, after conquering and defeating Satan and collecting that God-given authority and dominion that God originally gave Adam, that Adam lost when he committed high treason to Satan. Jesus collected the authority back, and then he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Then next verse. Therefore, go and make disciples. In other words, on the basis of this authority. Am I communicating? Watch the flow. Let me just put it in diagram flow. The flow of authority. Originally, it was with God. God gave it to the first Adam, right? Adam the first. He lost it to Satan, true of us.
Jesus conquered and defeated Satan and got back that authority. This is the flow chart of authority. Flow chart of what? Watch how the thing is moving. Authority over the earth. Watch this. Jesus conquered Satan, collected the authority, and then he handed over to the church. Are you seeing this? So that we can fulfill God's will. He said, on the basis of that authority, go into all the world and do kingdom business. So we've been authorized. Tell your neighbor, we've been authorized. We've been mandated to do kingdom business in our workplace, in our schools, in our institutions, in our territories, cities, nations, communities. He said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Make disciples of all nations. Now listen, there are two aspects of the Great Commission. The first is a quantitative aspect. The quantitative aspect of the Great Commission has to do with soul winning and evangelism. Soul winning and what? Evangelism. As in, we preach the gospel and we win souls, salvation of souls, through soul winning and what? Evangelism. That's the quantitative aspect of the Great Commission. Then the second aspect is a qualitative aspect. The first is a quantitative, the second is a qualitative quality. The qualitative aspect of the Great Commission has to do with discipleship and transformation of individuals, of families, of nations, of territories. Am I communicating? It has to do with infiltrating, dominating, and taking over the seven mountains of influence and every strata of society for Jesus. The qualitative aspect has to do with two things: discipleship and what? Transformation. Whether it's individuals, families, nations, cities, communities. Am I communicating? Territories. What is discipleship? Discipleship is a methodical system of mentorship. Discipleship is a methodical system of mentorship. Through sound teaching, that's doctrine, through sound teaching and training, of believers by the word and spirit of God. Shall I take it again? Discipleship is a methodical system of mentorship. Through what? Through what? Through sound teaching. Sound teaching. What we call doctrine. Through sound teaching and what? Training. Teaching and training. Praise God. Of believers by the word and spirit of God. Hallelujah. So look up. The greatest need of a sinner is the salvation of his soul. That is getting born again. And that's what happened when we preach the gospel. They get born again, right? But the greatest need of a believer that is already saved, that's already born again, has given his life to Christ, is what? Discipleship and transformation. Are you getting the point now? This is very important. Many people are going, Christians are going to church Sunday in, Sunday out, but they are not being discipled. A large chunk of them are deficient in the area of discipleship and transformation. Praise God. Can somebody help me clean this board? Protocol. Praise God. Discipleship
affects the quality of believers. See, it matters how you were trained and discipled, and it matters who trained you, who discipled you. Because listen, we will not be effective in kingdom business, in our area of influence, until we are well discipled and well transformed. Are you listening? It's to the degree that you are discipled and transformed, is to that degree that you can be effective in carrying out the Great Commission in your sphere of influence, in our workplace, in our schools, in our institutions, in our families, in our communities, in our cities, etc. So our effectiveness in carrying out kingdom assignment is largely dependent, in fact is directly proportional to what? The quality of what? Discipleship, teaching and training that we receive. That's why I always tell people, AGMI is a school. That's why, just like the way you go to uni, just you go to any other school, come with your writing material. In fact, you should have notebook for every course. All these series we have mentioned, they are different courses. So, just like medical school, they have different courses, and you have textbook, you have a notebook for every course. For instance, now, what was the last series, September teaching series? Talk to me. Some people have even forgotten. I have a question for you. Do you even go through those notes? Those notes you take, do you go through them? Or you are waiting for an exam? Life exam comes unannounced. It's not like school exam. And guess what? All the things you are learning, life will demand it from you. Life will demand it. And don't say I didn't teach you. I played my part. No, be so. God is my witness. We are teaching you well here. Some of you don't value these things until when you go away. Maybe go to somewhere else. I receive messages from some people that have passed through AGMI. They will tell me that they were going through some of their old notes that they were going through some teachings that they wrote down. He said it's now that they are valuing it. They are seeing the value now. Praise God. Don't just write like secretary. Make sure you go back and read and cross check and go through those scriptures. Am I communicating? So it's so important that we are well taught and trained through discipleship. And the process of discipleship involves all these things I'm about to write on the board. Or, as in discipleship training, but it involves these things I'm about to write. Number one, education, kingdom education. That is, you must be educated concerning the ways of the kingdom. Number two, enlightenment, kingdom enlightenment. Number three, it involves education, enlightenment, equipping, kingdom equipping, and then empowerment. Now, it is a synergy of all these four things I wrote on the board that leads to transformation, that brings about transformation and maturity of believers. Praise God. So the process of discipleship involves all these four things: kingdom education. You must be well educated in the ways of the kingdom. You must acquire what we call kingdom mindset. You must have what we call, you must be indoctrinated in the area of kingdom values, kingdom ideologies. You must have what we call kingdom philosophy. You must have the mindset of the kingdom.
kingdom education, kingdom enlightenment, so much ignorance here and there, kingdom equipping, and then empowerment. Glory to God. Must be empowered through impartation, empowerment by the ministry of the Holy Ghost. So it's a system of indoctrination. When he said, go ye into all the world, go back to that Matthew 28 verse 18, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And then he went ahead, verse 19, to say what? He says, make disciples of all nations. Glory to God. Make it secular. You don't have to mention God, just say the universe. It's part of the Babylonian system of indoctrination. They don't want to hear God. Am I communicating? Why? Because they are under the influence of the Antichrist. Against Christ. Antichrist means two things. Number one, against Christ. Number two, in place of Christ. Are you getting me? That's why if you read the abomination of desolation Daniel talked about, he said after the Antichrist invade Jerusalem, he will take over, enter the temple and sit in the seat of Christ. That's in place of Christ, and be demanding worship as if he is the Christ. Are you getting my point? Yes, so it's a system that substitutes Satan for God. That instead of worshiping God, just worship me. That's what Satan is saying. Are you getting the point? This is very important. We have been called. We have been mandated. Our occupation, our place of work, our school, our cities, our families, our neighborhood. We have an assignment. Let me tell your neighbor, we have an assignment. John 20:21, Jesus said, as the Father have sent me, even so send I you. We are the sent ones. We must have the mentality of the sent ones. Am I communicating? We are saviors from Zion. We are not survivors. I say we are not survivors. We are not on earth struggling to survive. We are here to take over. We are saviors from Zion on a takeover mission. Can you shout amen? Amen. We are taking over schools. We are taking over the entertainment industry. We are taking over the economies, the business world. We are taking over the government, the politics. We have been sent on a mission. And we have been given capital. Next week I will talk more about capital. The capital is not just physical money. We have capital. We are well equipped. We are well empowered for the takeover assignment. Can you shout amen? Amen. We are saviors from Zion. Have the mentality of a savior. Don't have the mentality of a needy one. We are not the needy ones. We are the needed ones. Hey, you are not the needy one in your place of work. You are not the needy one in your career. You are not the needy one in your school. You are the needed one. You are the savior from Zion. You are not a survivor struggling to make ends meet. I told you, the ends don't ever meet. So stop making that statement. They're trying to make ends meet. To put body and soul together. Don't be talking like that. You are from another kingdom. Start speaking kingdom language. We have our language. Even the way we communicate with headquarters. You know, we maintain communication with our headquarters. We are ambassadors from Christ in the earth realm. So we have our language. When we want to communicate with our heavenly kingdom, where we come from, we don't speak English. We don't speak Igbo. We don't speak Hausa. There is a kingdom language. Are you getting me? You know, I watch one movie. I like that movie, Merlin. In a time of meat, at a time of magic, the destiny of a great kingdom lies on the shoulder of a young man. His name is called Merlin. Now, your own. Listen, the destiny of the great kingdom is lying on the shoulder of the church. Listen, the Bible said the government shall be upon his shoulder. And Jesus is the head of the body, the church is the shoulder. So there is lying on our neck. Did you notice that in Mary, anytime Mary wants to do magic, he does not speak English? Did you notice? When the guy wants to do magic, perform magical acts, he does not speak English. He will switch into glossolalia. He will start speaking a language that people don't understand. It's the same thing when we are on a takeover mission. We don't speak grammar. Kali alabagadai. They are takeover tongues. We start blasting tongues in capital letters with alphabet of fire. We are the takeover generation. We are taking over. We are ruling and reigning with the rod of power, with the scepter of authority. Kalido Bakasa, we have received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, and we are reigning on it through Jesus Christ. We are not victims. Obadiah 17, it says, but upon Mount Zion there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possession. Give me Obadiah 17. The Holy Ghost was showing me something recently there. Likoto Balataya 17. It says, but upon Mount Zion there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possession. Then, watch this. There shall be what? Deliverance. And then there shall be what? Holiness. And the house of Jacob shall what? Possess their possession. This is talking about our inheritance. Believers receiving and enjoying their blood-bought inheritance in Christ. Our right, our privilege in Christ. All that Jesus died for. This talks about our right and privilege. Possessing our possession. Healing is yours. Prosperity is yours. The good life is yours. Everything Jesus paid for. Then jump to 21. The Holy Ghost was telling me the church needs to move from Obadiah 1:17. We need a paradigm shift to Obadiah 1:21. Because listen, give me 21. The purpose of our right, our inheritance, why God gave us that inheritance, the purpose of right is so that you can take up responsibilities. He said the church needs to move from Obadiah 17 to Obadiah 21. And what does Obadiah 21 says? Saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to what? Judge the Mount of Esau. And what? As a result, what will happen? The kingdom shall be the Lord's. Now listen, Obadiah 17 talks about we possessing our possession. That is our blood-bought inheritance. And that's good. That's great. That's the beginning point. But you see, that's not an end in itself. The purpose of right is responsibility. Obadiah 21 is talking about taking up what? Kingdom responsibility. So we need to go past the realm of possessing our possession to the realm of what? Taking kingdom responsibilities to take over this world for Jesus. To colonize the earth realm, to colonize the cosmos, to colonize the ethnos. Am I communicating? Because Jesus has already paid the price for that to happen. We need to take up and answer our calling. Will you answer your calling as a savior? You are a savior to your generation. You are a savior to your family. You are a savior to your school, your community. You are a savior to your career, your workplace. You are a savior sent on a divine mission. You have been mandated, Kali Tobakataya, to establish the kingdom, to advance the kingdom in the hearts of men. In that place, your sphere of influence. Am I communicating? This is very important. We need to make that transition. Because we have too many irresponsible believers. When I say irresponsible, that means they are not taking taking up kingdom responsibilities. They are just, I, me, and myself. God, give me, give me, give me. They don't carry out kingdom. They are a liability to the kingdom. May you never be such. We need to wake up. Yes, you are part of those saviors. Saviors coming up from Mount Zion. Oh yes, to judge the Mount of Esau. And the Mount of Esau is talking about the kingdoms of this world. The mountains of this world, currently under the influence of Satan. Am I communicating? We are coming with red eyes. Because Satan will not just give up like that without a fight. But guess what? Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power to trample upon serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. We are coming with a superior power. You know, if you put two madmen inside a room to fight, one of them must give up, and one of them must win. He said, let every power be subject to a higher power. Who has the higher power? Kale Toba Kataya. We are coming with the wisdom of God. We are coming with the power of God. We are coming with the wisdom and the power of the Christos. We are taking over, reclaiming those kingdoms currently under the rule and the influence of Satan. Every darkness, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. Salt is talking of infiltration and domination. You know, when you carry small quantity of salt and put it inside a large quantity of food, it infiltrates it and then it dominates it. The influence cannot be ignored. The influence of salt, and salt is a preservative. You are the one preserving. We are the one preserving this world from decadence. The reason why Satan has not destroyed this war yet, the way he will have planned, is because the church is here. And we are the preservative. The hurricane will have been more. The earthquakes will have been more. The death, destruction, sickness will have been more. If not that we are here. We are the one taming the wickedness of the wicked. But the moment the church is raptured, Satan will be unrestrained. And then you will see he will do his worst. Am I communicating? Glory to God. We are laying foundation today. I round up with this. Go back to that Luke 28. Are you getting blessed? Ha! What you are learning here, you better value it. See, you are not in school just to collect certificates. Now, listen, there is a higher calling. There is a higher purpose. You are not working because of salary. You are not in that career, in that job, just to earn salary and make a living. There is a higher what? Calling. There is a higher purpose. Your career, your work, your job, your school is just a platform to do kingdom business. Let me tell you, neighbor, it's a platform. It's not the main thing. It's just a means to an end. And what is that end? Kingdom advancement and kingdom establishment. This understanding is very important. If I don't teach you, you will make the mistake that many believers are making. You are not in uni just or Upla Poly or ATBU just to earn back degree. I'm not saying that you should be lazy and not be excellent as a student. If we need that, your excellence, for kingdom advancement. Ask Daniel. Be the best in your field. Be the best in your school, in your class. Be the best in your career, in your job. Be excellent, be competent. But understand that all of that is just a means to an end. Which is what? Kingdom advancement, kingdom establishment, kingdom business. So, your career, let me tell your neighbor, your career is a platform to do kingdom business. Your job is a platform is to do kingdom business. Your school is a platform to do kingdom business. So, start influencing people for Jesus. In your sphere of influence, wake up. In your sphere of contact. Your Facebook page, what do you use it to do? Is it only for selfie? You pout like this. Use it for what? Kingdom. Oh, you have 3,000 friends, 5,000 friends. Use it for what? Kingdom. Your Instagram, is it only to snap fine picture? Is it only to advertise the cake you are doing? I'm not saying don't advertise cake. But the cake is not an end in itself. It's a means to an... As you are making the cake, be tonguing. Mix it with tongue. As you are mixing the thing, shaka palate. Anybody that eat this cake will encounter Christ and get born again. Are you getting me? It's very important. As a medical doctor, the medical field is your own world. As you are seeing patient and consulting, you understand? Do kingdom business. Let me tell you, neighbor, do kingdom business. Anywhere you find yourself. Don't be like the people of the world that are into the rat race of life. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? They are just, say, this life, not just to make money. Oh. Anyway, now we will. Anyway, now we will. We are not survivors. We are saviors from Zion. We are not the needy ones. We are the needed ones. Are you getting me? We are pace setters. We are trailblazers. We are world changers. We are agents of change. We are not a nuisance to society. We are agents of change and societal transformation. And what is the tool we are using? The gospel of the kingdom. So, give me, now go back to KJV, King James Version. Then King James Version, make it KJV. It says, all power is given unto me, authority, in heaven and earth, 19. It says, go ye therefore, teach all nations. Now watch this, the teach there means disciple, I've taught about disciple. Now, nations there is ethnos in Greek. Ethnos refers to, is where they get the English word ethnicity, ethnic group. Ethnos is a multitude of people of similar race and similar habit. They have similar characteristics. It's a group of people. It's talking of people groupings that have similar race, similar habits, or similar characteristics. For instance, we have Birom Nation. In Plateau, we have Birom Nation. We have what again? Magavul Nation. You see, the English meaning of nation is not exactly correct, though. It doesn't mean country. The word nation here doesn't mean country, as in Nigeria, Ghana. Mm-mm. Nigeria as a country has so many nations. Igala Nation. Tarok Nation. It's a group of people, similar habit, similar... are you getting me? It's where they get... So, every ethnic group is a nation. Every ethnic group is a nation. You say we should go and preach to them. And if you reach Revelation, you see that people were represented in heaven from every tribe, every nation, every tongue, and all of that. So we must reach out to them. It has been prophesied that they will make heaven. Am I communicating? So that's the meaning of ethnos. Also, there is medical ethnos. There is a medical nation. They have similar habits. Don't doctors have similar habits? Even their language is similar. You hear a doctor say, oh, this abdomen is tender. Now you go to think, say, na English meaning of tender. As in tender loving care. TLC. Now you give your baby and your wife tender loving. No. When a doctor say this abdomen is tender, it means it's painful. So why is it that the English, you don't know the meaning? It's because you don't belong. You don't belong. You have not been initiated. The medical training have schooled them. There's a way they think. You hear your consultant during ward round. You say, what are you thinking, guys? This patient, why are you thinking? And then you see them, because they belong to similar what? Ethnos. They're just thinking. Say, sir, I think it could be, I'm thinking of systemic lupus erythematosus. Maybe we should do. Now, they are talking based on their ethnos. Now, you go to the legal world. They have their legal ethnos. The lawyers, the barristers, they have their language. You see them talking, Lord God, I put it to you, sir. So day you did such thing. Cross examination of patient. May you never have be found in court being examined. When lawyers deal with you, they have their language. They have their language. You go to the engineering world. You know, I was with the engineering ex-coast faculty of engineering, NUESA, leadership retreat yesterday, courtesy their president, celebrate study. They did a great work. We had a great time yesterday. You know, I was together with my friend, Dr. Pastor Alpha. He's even the dean of faculty of engineering, right? He's the HOD. Yes, he's the HOD. You know, and you see, we had a great time. When we were coming, he saw one building that they were still building, and they started talking with one of the engineering students that just graduated. I was lost. You understand? He just said, go and check that column. Is it 16 or 12 something something? I can't even remember some of the things they were saying. Now, that's the language of those that belong to what? The engineering ethnos. If it was Pastor Penn or maybe a study that was there, they will understand the language. But these are engineering students. But me, I'm not an engineering student. Yeah, I was trained as a doctor. Are you getting me? I'm a preacher of the gospel. If you talk Bible things now, or you talk medical things, I go flow. Are you getting my point? So he said we should take the gospel to all these engineering ethnos, medical ethnos, legal ethnos, teaching ethnos. Praise God. All the various professions, your occupation is a platform for kingdom business. Aquila and Priscilla, they were of the same craft with Apostle Paul. They were tent makers. Apostle Paul used the opportunity to do kingdom business and got them saved and discipled them. And they so did well that when they heard Apollos moving stuff that were not exactly correct, they listened to his message and then they called him aside and expounded to him more perfectly the ways of the kingdom. Now, imagine if Paul had not got them saved and discipled them. Would they have discipled Apostle Apollos? That was an apostolo. So when they taught him more correctly, Apollos upgraded. And the Bible says he mightily convinced the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And he went on to have a very influential ministry that even rivaled the ministry of Apostle Paul. So that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, some say we are of Paul. Others say we are of Apollos. Some say we are of Cephas, Peter. That means the three of them were men of stature. But that was a byproduct of the discipleship that Aquila and Priscilla had from Paul. They even mentored an apostle. Are you listening? Rise to your feet. We continue from here next week. Praise God. Can you bless God for what you just received? Go ahead and bless the name of the Lord. Go ahead and bless the name of the Lord. Oh, Shalabagadaya. He said, occupy till I come. Hey! Do kingdom business till I come. Advance my kingdom till I come. Establish my kingdom in the ethnos, in the cosmos. The cosmos is another word, translated world. It means the systems of this world, the strata of society, the world and its inhabitants. God said we should preach the gospel everywhere. Am I communicating? Say, Father, I receive grace to carry out kingdom assignment. Go ahead and talk to the Lord. Luke chapter 12 verse 49. Luke 12:49. Jesus said, why are you looking for me? He said, don't you know I must be about my Father's business? Luke 2:49, not 12, 2:49. He says, wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business.
How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not I must be? I want you to turn that into a prayer. Turn it into a prayer. I'm not just in uni just to collect certificate and graduate. I'm not just working to earn salary. I'm not just in that career to become a professional. I'm an ambassador of Christ, sent and commissioned on a divine mission. I've been mandated, giving marching orders, to colonize my sphere of influence for my Lord and my King. And I receive grace not to be disobedient to this heavenly vision. I receive grace to be committed to kingdom business. I receive grace to go about this assignment with everything within me. The grace to preach the gospel. The grace to disciple nations. To bring about transformation. Go ahead. Mashalia. Agabrande. Eseketeni. Balatisco bracateni eco balakatai. I receive grace, grace, grace. Shalabatosatai eco poloto sepende cabretosca rakabakatai zabranda kapata. When we come for service like this, it's another training and equipping session. We are not just gathering for religious purposes. No, this is not a religious gathering. We don't go to church because we have to go to church. We come to church because we have come to understand that this is a kingdom schooling center. It's a kingdom equipping center. We are being taught. We are being trained. We are being discipled. We are being schooled. So that we'll be effective kingdom ambassadors, so that we can go about the business of the kingdom and be effective in it. So we receive the fire, we receive the touch, and then we receive the impartation and empowerment, and then out of the strength of it, we launch out into the marketplace of the world. We go forth to take over. We are mandated to colonize the cosmos with the business of the kingdom. Thank you, Father. In Jesus.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Sagon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.